AI is storming every industry, but AI needs loads of data, speed, and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? Time to upgrade to Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is one efficient platform for your infrastructure, database, and application development with AI built in. And Oracle Sovereign Cloud helps you address requirements for location, access, and data residency. Do more and spend less like Uber, the Premier League, and Oracle Red Bull Racing. Take a free test drive at oracle.com/bandwidth.
All right, welcome back to another week of the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. Alongside me is Dylan White, the master of the Robo Scout and potentially the NFBC for 2 years in a row. How's it going, Dylan? What are you doing?
I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I'm not going to be the overall champion 2 years in a row. But I appreciate the thought. It's not great. And I don't think it'll get much better. Though we set the max on Tommy Pham last night. So that gives you an idea of how we're doing.
Hey, you know, it's a winning ball player, Dylan. He can change a clubhouse, man, for the good or for the bad. So if you know, if things start to go well, Tommy Pham, big clubhouse guy. Things start to go bad, you may want to throw him on the waiver wire, get him out of the clubhouse. You got to see how it works out. But you guys weren't like running away with it the first like month or two of the season last year, were you?
No, not at all. I have a famous tweet that was on May 21st, so like 3 weeks from now. We were 480th at the time. So it's very, very, very early.
Yes.
So that's a good reminder. I know a couple of people keep talking about that tweet because it kind of reassures them that it's all's not lost, even though you lose, you know, Strider or Bieber or all these guys, you know, you can still come back. So that's what I'm holding my hat on. But after May 21st, all bets are off.
Yeah. No, I have some teams right now that are frustrating me. I can't deny that. But I'm not going to go through the whole roster here. Dylan, like
I said, I teed you up. I teed you up perfectly.
I know. I'm looking at it, but I don't know if I should do this. But my Nerf team, which is the Earth Leagues, this is the New England version. I won it a few years ago, and I've been terrible since we've moved to the NFBC from Fantrax. I like to say that I am awful in the NFBC just in general. I don't know what it is, but my skill set is much better on Fantrax for some reason. So regardless, I was really bad last year. After, you know, winning it, and that was disappointing. This year, I felt really good coming out of the draft, Dylan. Team has not performed as well as I thought it was going to. It's a Corbin Carroll team. So, you know, that's kind of the centerpiece here that's struggling. But it's Gabriel Moreno, Alejandro Kirk, 15-team league, full of NFBC lineups. Yandy Diaz, Jimenez, Corey Seager, Manny Machado, Corbin Carroll, Mike Trout, Lourdes Gurriel Jr., Mitch Haniger, Michael Bush, Orlando Arcia, Will Benson. I got Cameron Arrow, Jackson Holiday, and I also have Peter Fairbanks, Yu Darvish, DL Hall, and Brian Wu all on the IL. But the hitting has just not hit as well as I thought it was going to. And it's rough. The first couple weeks of the season, it looked like maybe the offense was going to be good, and then it's just plummeted. And the team has not been good, Dylan. And I'm at a loss at this point. I'm not quite sure what's going on. I mean, the pitching has been awful, to be fair. The pitching has been awful, but the offense should be much better. I thought the offense was going to carry more weight here. I thought I would have a 40-plus point offense. I'm at like 31. And I actually thought I'd have more like close to like 55, like 60-point offense. Like I thought I was going to be racking up offensive categories here, but that's not the case. The team's bad. We'll see if it turns around.
Jimenez, Seager, Machado, they're all kind of starting off slow. So, like, they're obviously going to turn it around. I mean, having Trout, like, I have Trout and Gunnar Henderson on the team that I'm saying is not doing very well and probably won't do well. And it's so kind of frustrating when you have these guys who are just crushing it and then you still, the team, you're kind of wasting it, I guess, is my point.
Yeah.
So yeah, actually, I have a question. Someone reached out to me and they're asking about Corbin Carroll's trade value. Would you trade Corbin Carroll for Wyatt Langford straight up right now? Both of them kind of not meeting their potential, so to say. Where are you on that? I come throwing you on the hot seat.
Kind of I would want the Corbin Carroll side of that deal.
Yeah,
I'm not out on Carroll. I think that there has been a lot of panicking. And I understand why. I actually think that the shoulder theory is not necessarily true. I know some people are bringing that up. I've seen some sample sizes where they rolled in parts of last year into this year and, you know, tried to sort of tell a bad story. But all right. I think that Carroll is being pitched differently than he's ever been pitched before. Okay. He's now the guy. I think there's more tape on him. I think he's adjusting to being the guy. He's walking more. He's actually striking out less. The ball just hasn't been dropping. You know, it's a 226 batting average on balls in play. If I'm not mistaken, he had a ball that was 111.5. If he had a shoulder injury, I don't think the 111.5 would have happened, frankly. If it was lingering like that. I just don't think he's getting great pitches to hit. I think the sample's still small, and I think we'll see some things even out. I think it's still really, really early in terms of major leaguers. You know, we're talking about 122 plate appearances, 27 games. Guys struggle during the season for a month. You know, could there be an injury? Sure. At this point, I'd be buying on Corbin Carroll still. I don't know if you agree with that or not.
I actually don't have Corbin Carroll anywhere, so I haven't really been following it closely, except just like seeing the Twitter consternation about how it's that shoulder injury on that swing in July of 2023 or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I haven't really dug in too deeply. Just because I'm not that invested in it in the near term. Yeah. But everything you're saying kind of makes sense. I've always kind of been suspicious about shoulders and how it affects hitters. Because I know when Michael Brantley had a shoulder thing a few years ago, Sarah's had an article on it looking back at those shoulder injuries. And it kind of showed that there wasn't really a change at the time. I don't know, maybe the data is different with like later guys who've been having it, like Tatis and stuff, but I've always kind of been leery of shoulders for hitters affecting them too much. But I could just be misremembering completely, and it might be a completely different type of shoulder injury that I'm talking about. I'm not quick to write off shoulders for hitters. I don't know. He can't get anything going. He's still, you know, providing base running value in quotes, and he's still providing value in the field, you know, except for his arm. He just can't get anything going in the batter's box.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the underlying numbers, like the skills are still performing really well. Mm-hmm. You know, the number that really sticks out is the average exit velocity. But frankly, like that's a number that we throw out to begin with. Mm-hmm. Like that's not necessarily a number that you should be using. And looking at it as a predictive power number, necessarily, you know, and there's fluctuations on that. And there's also hot streaks, cold streaks, things like that. I think it's just a bit of a sophomore slump. This happens with guys, and we could be back here in 2 months and he goes on an absolute burner for 3-4 weeks and the numbers look completely different, you know. It is still early enough that I don't think you can totally hit the panic button. Though I understand why people are panicking. The hard hit is down a ton. Soft contact is up. So some of that stuff is concerning, but I think you got to see what happens. I would not be panicking if this guy was that injured. He would not be playing, you know, and playing every day at that point. So I think it's just a run of bad luck. I think sometimes it's much ado about nothing. And then people panic and it isn't anything. But of course, I said this now on air, and that probably means, Dylan, that he's going to go down with a shoulder injury like Wednesday. All right. We kind of got off topic there. Want to talk about a couple news and notes, and then we're going to have our main topic of discussion. which I think is going to be fun. We're going to tease that out in a minute. Jordan Beck just got called up, Dylan. What are your thoughts? Are you rushing out and picking up Jordan Beck in a redraft league? Obviously, he's owned in Dynasty.
I think so. I would. I would, depending on how he does this week. It's kind of, we have a week to see. It sounds like Nolan Jones is going on the IL, so hopefully Beck will get some reasonably playing full-time playing time so we can see what he's doing. But a nice blend of power and speed. He has 5 home runs, 5 stolen bases in AAA so far this year, 120 play appearances. So, you know, he's kind of showing 20 home run power, 15 stolen bases. I think for there have been so many injuries for players in on everyone's redraft team that I think he will go for a lot of money. Like I mentioned, Tommy Pham was a guy that we spent a lot of money on. Joe Adell went for a lot of money. So like anyone's any blend of power speed for any potential power speed and full time playing time is going to go for a mint. And especially with these young guys who come up and have that potential, it's very tantalizing. So I think a lot of it will go depend on how he goes during this week. If he doesn't, if he plays 2 out of 7 games or something like that, then maybe you pump the brakes. But if he's playing full time, and you know he hits a home run in this week or something, or steals a couple bases, I can see him going for a lot of money in redraft. And why not, playing in Coors, power and speed outfield? You got to go for it.
You heard it here first from Dylan. Jordan Beck, where it's at. My pun for you.
Very nice.
Oh, yeah, you got that one. All right, let's move on. To a loser. Joey LaPerfido also getting the call. The current minor league home run leader, Joey LaPerfido. I love saying that. This has always been one of those guys that I have no idea how to rank because I really, really like the player. I like the skills. But it's one of those tough profiles where it's like, where does he play? You know, he's played some second base. He's played some center field. He's played some first base. He's not a tremendous fielder, but he's versatile. He's a pretty good athlete for his size. There's power. There's on-base ability. There's a lot of whiff, which worries me a little bit, but it is Joey LaPerfido. And if you picked this guy up a year or so ago and held on to him because you were a believer, a LaPerfido, if you want to sort of speak, if you were a LaPerfido, you know, you're probably pretty happy right now. So what's your take on Joey LaPerfido?
great question. Everything you said is exactly right. I mean, he looks like he's a 30 home run bat because he's got 13 home runs in 120 innings. Jose Abreu does not look good, to put it mildly. I don't know if you saw Tom Tango of MLB AM, Advanced Media, Savant, the progenitor, all that stuff. He did a thing on bat speed, and just showed how like after age 31 or 32, like the cliff is real. And I think that's what we're seeing with Jose Abreu, because he is, I think he's the worst player in baseball right now in terms of WAR and in terms of,
he's been so bad for 2 years, man.
Yeah, I know. And I have him on a couple teams, which,
it's remarkable. The Astros have had everything except for a functioning first baseman for like 3 seasons now. Of all things, right? You just need like a pulse there that can hit. And it's been like remarkable that they haven't been able to figure that out. But anyway, continue.
No, I'm just, so I thought Abreu would be fine. I thought they would have him up at the top of the order-ish. With Yordan and Kyle Tucker and Altuve, like he's in Bregman, he's going to just get lots of counting stats. He can just pull them into the Crawford boxes too. So even though his home run numbers have been down, you know, maybe playing at home for half the season, he would get good numbers, but none of that has come to fruition. So all of this to say, I kind of feel LaPerfido will get a lot of run at first base because John Singleton's the other option. And, you know, they're rewarding him for his play. I think he's going to be a guy that like Rowdy Tellez kind of feel like, you know, maybe not the greatest batting average, but should crush them every so often. And maybe worst case is, I don't know. I was going to say something there, but maybe I don't want to say it, but you know, 30 home runs on a 600 plate appearance basis, which is always going to play in that Astros lineup. I'm probably gonna pay quite a bit on Sunday, just because of my first base situation. As I mentioned, I have Abreu is not the greatest.
Yeah, I have a couple spots where he would have been useful. He would have been a useful grab in DCs. You know, I bet you he would have been a later round guy, and I could have grabbed him and didn't. You know, that's one of those that makes you feel bad, but there's no way you possibly could have probably predicted that. But who knows? Maybe you could have. Here, last thing we're going to do before we go to break, and then we're going to go to our main topic tonight, which is we're going to do a 10-player back and forth, no snake whatsoever, waiver wire draft. All these players have to be 10% owned or under on Fantrax. So that's coming up in a minute after the break. But right before the break, I have a prediction question for you, Dylan. Give me a date for when Junior Cameron Arrow is going to be called up to the Rays.
Yeah. So I think it'll be very soon. He is number three right now after yesterday on RoboScout. He tied Kobe Mayo. He passed James Wood. He's ahead of Heston Kjerstad, just to kind of give you a context of like the type of players we're talking about. Still behind Jackson Holliday and, of course, Jose Fermin, my cheese ball. So he's putting up the numbers in AAA. He's on the 40-man. We've seen him in majors already, blah, blah, blah. So it's going to be soon. The question is when. Just looking at the schedule here, this coming weekend, they're home against the Mets, then they're home against the White Sox, and they're home against the Yankees. So I'm going to say by the Yankee series, he'll be up. So within 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I say 80% chance of that. So I don't know. What do you think?
It's going to be a short bus ride or flight, because Durham's in Gwinnett this week, so they're not too far out, you know, outside. They're just in Georgia for the week. He's going to play his last AAA series there. I think that Junior Cameron Arrow is going to get called up on Monday, and that he will be here on Monday, May 6th, as a member of the Tampa Bay Rays against the White Sox. I think they'll have gained enough to overcome the month or so that he was up with the team, and maybe a little bit of extra time to push back the clock exactly as they need it to be. And right now, man, Rays aren't looking good. They're 13-16, but I do think the season is still salvageable. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But I think that it's a boost that they could use in their lineup. You know, even if he plays 4 or 5 days a week and you hide him once a week or something from a difficult pitcher, you know, just sort of a workload management thing, I think that's perfectly fine as well. But I think he's going to get into that Rays rotation. And you'll see him next Monday. So I think he's a worthwhile stash right now if you're listening to this. But Rays come back from Milwaukee and have a nice little home stretch. And like I said, Cameron Arrow is going to be in their backyard. Quick flight, get him there, ready to play on Monday. Got Cameron Arrow back in the lineup, because I have been stashing him in a few redrafts, holding on to him for weeks. And I feel like the time is coming. He's hitting, had a good week. And I think that's all he really needed to show, was get his time down. And I think the IL stint probably helped the Rays a little bit, just in terms of keeping him off the field for a few weeks. You know, even if it was just, you know, totally precautionary or whatever, I think it sort of played into their favor. So yeah, I think May 6th, I think that's the date that I'm going with, is May the 6th. Not May the 4th, but May the 6th. So you can celebrate May the 4th, and then you have Cinco de Mayo, and then you have Junior Cameron Arrow call up day.
There you go.
Right? It's like it's a holiday weekend.
It's here, a
right?
Long weekend, yeah.
Get party in Tampa Bay. All right. Dylan, we're going to take a quick break here. When we get back, we're going to do that 10-round draft. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
And we are back. We're going to do this quick draft here. Actually, it's really a 5-round draft. I said 10-round. It's a 10-pick draft. We're just doing sort of a 10-man prep list. I think we both probably came in with that, or maybe more. All of these players, as I said at the top of the show, have to be owned in 10% or less of Fantrax leagues, which I think gives you a good idea of, like, these guys maybe won't be available in the deepest of leagues, your 30-team leagues, some of those. But maybe if you are. And I think they're all interesting players. And I think they kind of fit into a nice niche for, like, they're viable players for, like, the 16-team or the 20-team, 24-team, 30-team league. They're all viable in those formats. And maybe some of these guys could even be pushing up on 12-team Dynasty League relevancy, depending upon how many prospects are rostered in your Dynasty League. All right, Dylan, I know that you gave me the first overall pick, so I'm going to make it quick. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I'm going to take Alfredo Duno. Now, I know that he is a catcher, okay? I know that Duno is a catcher. Cincinnati Reds catcher Alfredo Duno. That's D-U-N-O for those that are uninitiated. He's on our top 100 list, actually. One of the more recent additions. The whiffs can be a little concerning looking under the hood, but he's super young. I think one of the youngest players at full season, if not the youngest player at full season this year. Huge exit velocity numbers, you know, approach coming along, really good angles. I think this guy's going to be able to mash. It's going to probably be a little bit of a wait and see, a little bit more of a project, and it is a catcher, but I just super believe in the bat. And after sort of Francisco Alvarez, kind of feeling some catcher love right here. And we're talking 10% or under, so we're not getting all shortstops and center fielders here either. Like, Zaire Hope is already 17% owned. So that was hopefully my number one pick, but Hope was already taken. Way too much.
I actually had Duno as my number one as well.
Awesome. I wanted that to happen. Badly. Like, I want us to snipe each other, because that makes me feel better about the quality of the list, that there's multiple people thinking like this. And I hope it's more actionable for the listeners out there. But yeah, you had Duno as the number one guy in your prep list as well.
Yeah, I did. I'm gonna try to be strategic here. So it's not necessarily the best player, not necessarily the best perceived value, not necessarily maybe the highest ranked if I were to make a list, but I'm just trying to, like, snipe you. I'm trying to be strategic.
You could take the best player.
Well, I mean, that's a tough question too. Who is the best player? So obviously what I did, I downloaded Fantrax. I just, like, filtered out anyone 11% rostered or more. And then I looked at RoboScout and just kind of highlighted the guys near the top. So I'm going to just do a kind of easy one. This guy is, you said catcher. This guy's playing catcher in AA for the Yankees. He has 9 home runs in 88 plate appearances. He has 90th percentile exit velocity of 108, which is plus or more. Agustin Ramirez of the Yankees. I'm not sure if he's a top 100 prospect for me for fantasy. He's a catcher, like you said, with Duno. That's why I felt safe kind of taking him.
There's not, he might end up at, like, first base.
No, like, I know. But I do think the bat will play. I do think the bat will play. It's kind of like Moises Ballesteros, who's right beside him in the AA RoboScout, another catcher in name only. But the bat is so good that I think he'll be able to play at first base or DH. But yeah, I just want Agustin Ramirez. Power, the contact's actually quite good. He's 22 in AA, so he's a bit younger than the average age, kind of in that sweet spot. I think he'll have a WRC plus of 115 or more. And he's crushing it. Like I said, he's got 9 home runs in double. I think he's the league leader in AA for home runs. So I see your catcher, and I choose another catcher, another slugging catcher in name only.
It's funny, I actually, there's another catcher that's in the mix here that I actually thought that's who you were going to snipe me with, but Ramirez is a really good one, and one that's a little bit closer to the majors, too, so
yeah,
let's see how that goes. I'm going to go away from catchers here, though, Dylan, if that's okay. With my second pick in the draft, I'm going to take a player that I've had sort of on my radar for a few seasons now. Last year, I think he took a while for him to get his feet under him in low A. But that's Michael Arroyo, shortstop infielder with the Mariners. I believe he's with Modesto right now. You know, he's still super young. There's good bat to ball ability. I think there's, you know, potential for underlying power as well. It's kind of got the Jose Ramirez build where he's like stout and broad with like a, you know, with a gas tank out back, you know, he's got a big old booty, which, you know, does, there might be some power there, kind of that stout, powerful build. But I know that Arroyo is a top 10 guy. I think in low A for Robo Scout as well. If I'm not mistaken, Dylan, correct me if I'm wrong.
He's number 11 now, actually, after the latest Statcast dump and Sunday's game. So he's sliding.
Yeah. And he doesn't have the speed of Jose Ramirez. And it's a little bit more actualized power right now. But, you know, 14.9% walk rate. You know, I like my guys that get on base, get their walks. 18.4% K rate. He doesn't swing and miss all that much. And the slash line right now, 292.400. Still just 19 years old, had 57 games there last year, and had a 118 WRC plus. The slash line isn't phenomenal. He's a really interesting player, especially for a guy that's sort of in his first full real season, because he came over last year, was a complex guy for a few games before he was assigned to low A. So, you know, he's a little bit smaller, usually like a bigger guy. They like the power types, but we're shopping in the discount section. So, you know. You gotta buy the fun size candy bars sometimes. You can't get the king size, I guess. You know, you can't get the Spencer Jones. So you go with Michael Arroyo. But I think the skills are really, really good. I think this guy should be rostered in a lot more than 10% of Dynasty League fan track, frankly. Well, I guess it's all overall league, so it's kind of a mix. Maybe it's more like 40% in terms of just Dynasty Leagues or 30%. I think his ownership number should be higher than this. I don't think he should be in the 8. I think he's at 8% ownership right now, and I think that number should bump a little bit.
Yeah, I think he was kind of forgotten after last year's kind of – he was playing spottily. I like that pick a lot. He was on my short list as well. I have a short list of like 15. How funny is it that he's 11th in low A – and he's on the Modesto Nuts, and there are four players ahead of him. Five of 11 are Modesto Nuts. Cole Emerson, Ty Pete, Lazaro Montes, Johnny Farmello, and then Michael Arroyo. So you know what? Just to keep the trend going, I'm going to take the guy who is 14th on low A, another Modesto Nut, a cheese ball of mine who I picked in our sleeper breakouts, Aiden Smith.
I almost did this last pick just to see your reaction, but I didn't like it. So.
He's a bit raw. So he may not be, if I was trying to play strategically, if I had a lot of money on the line, maybe he wouldn't be my pick here, but I really like the skills. Great center fielder, very athletic. He has 3 home runs. He has 7 stolen bases already. So he's showing, you know, like 20-20 power. And like I said, he's got great center field defense, so he's going to get a lot of run. The numbers under the hood are pretty good too. Above average contact, 90th percentile is about average. He doesn't chase. Aiden Smith, my number 4 pick, another Modesto Nut.
I like it. No, that's a good pick, and that was also a player that was on my pref list. So well done there, as well, Dylan. So here, I'm going to go with sort of an off the wall one. And I actually don't know if this guy ranks highly on Robo Scout right now or not. I'm going to go with Colby Thomas, outfielder, double-A outfielder for Oakland with double-A Modesto. I've just always liked the underlying skills. There's some power there. You know, the bats of ball skills are fine. He's chasing a little bit more than he typically does, but hits the ball hard. at good angles on a pretty consistent basis. Really, really good bat speed. He's an interesting player, and he's kind of tooled up as well. Last I look, I think he's hitting 316, 382, 582 with a 266 ISO. Really, really interesting, and I think one of the numbers that jumps out when you look under the hood, 107.3 90th percentile exit velocity, has a 112.3 max. 328 ex-WOBA right now as well, with 18.9% zone whiff. So I think just a matter of like tightening up the approach a little bit, but he's tooled up, you know, and definitely could play all three outfield positions. I like the power, I like the bats of ball skills, and just needs to tighten the approach a little bit, and that could potentially happen. So Colby Thomas is the guy that I'm throwing out there. I don't know if he was on any of your lists or not, or if that was a reach.
No, he was on my list. He wasn't on the final kind of 15 that I came in here on my little piece of paper, but he popped on RoboScout at the beginning of the year. I bid for him to kind of speak to how much I believed. I didn't get him. I actually got overbid at like something. I think he went for like $40 or $60, and then he's kind of slipped a bit. But he's still 24th. I'm looking at it now in Double A, which is pretty good because number 23 is Matt Shaw and number 22 is Dalton Rushing. So he's in good company there, based on his numbers. So definitely a good pick. Oakland can use some players in the major league club. He's only a couple levels away. He may even make it this year.
Like I said, he can play all three outfield positions. He can run a little bit. He has a big arm. The power is legit. And I mean, you know, he doesn't walk a ton, but he's not striking out. You know, he's 21.3% strikeout rate right now. So I feel pretty good about that. I like Colby Thomas a lot. So I think he's a sneaky pickup right now, name that I'd be going after.
I like it. So I'll stay in Double A too. I'll take the guy who was sixth in High A in the short season and got promoted. He's now fourth in Double A. Milwaukee Brewer, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, Mike Bovey.
That's right? I say it.
That's how I'm going to say it then. The guy has a 206 WRC plus in Double A in 37 plate appearances. He had a 251 in High A in 53 plate appearances. So that's like 80, 90 plate appearances, over 200 WRC plus. He's 22 years old. Not much power, not much speed, but the guy has a hit tool for days. Incredible contact. Hit tool for days. Mike Bovey doesn't chase. He barrels it up when he does make contact. His 90th percentile X velocity is kind of right in the average, but like he got those good launch angles, got that great contact, got that great swing decision mentality. I'm not sure where he's going to play in the infield, but I mean, he kind of is like a Sal Frelick in that great on base ability. You know, maybe teens in the power, maybe teens in the stolen bases, man, a jack of all trades in terms of, where he'd play. Maybe he's not as good defensively as Frelick, but,
he's not as athletic as Frelick. It's way more like hit. It's like hit. And I think there's like some power projection. I saw him in the Cape for a summer, with Yarmouth Dennis. And then, you know, he was a smaller school guy, went to, you know, mid-major Omaha, of all places. It's always been like incredible skills. And then it's been like, all right, are the angles going to get better? Are the EVs going to get better? It's all hit tool. He could play a few different positions, but it's not like Frelick was like a pretty freaky athlete, like a runner, things like that. Like, I don't think I've ever gotten like plus run times from Bovey.
I was kind of. Okay. I definitely agree. He's not self-reliant. Just maybe in terms of production.
Oh yeah, no, that's probably reasonable.
So that's six of 10. Now it's kind of tightening up. I got to pick the guys I really want now, but go ahead.
Yeah, you're going to have to. All right. I'm going to hold off and no longer. I'm going to jump back into the catchers. Josue Briseño. I thought this one was going to get taken by you. And it's funny because, like, the guys that were on my pref list, it was, like, Bovey, Smith, Briseño. And I was, like, trying to figure out who were you going to take. I thought you would take Arroyo because I saw him on RoboScout yesterday. So I was like, I think Arroyo is going. But Briseño, I think, is a player that we both like quite a bit. I think the thing that's most impressive about him is just like the underlying data is really, really like outstanding. I wrote about it at the end of last week. You can go and check out my 10 teenagers with outstanding underlying data, but 104.49 90th percentile EV right now, 14.7% miss rate overall, a 10% zone. He's got a 90% zone contact rate. And he only chases 21.8% of the time. Yeah, I mean, the numbers have been okay, right? I mean, 271, 378, 414, 13.4% walk rate, 13.4% K rate. I think the power is going to show more. I think this looks a lot like a Florida State power hitter slot, like nut line, you know, where those parks are tough on power and they can suppress home runs a little bit and just power output overall. So yeah, I sort of wonder if the power might even jump a little bit more as it gets really hot and humid down there, or maybe he gets a call up to high A. I know the defense isn't great, but and he does hit the ball on the ground a fair amount of time. But doesn't swing and miss, and there's huge power there. It's a left-handed bat. He's still young at 18, and the EVs are outstanding. And there's just not a lot of guys you're going to find that hit the ball that hard, that swing and miss that little. So it's just kind of hard for me to eliminate a guy like that. So this guy, honestly, I could have thought about this guy probably with my first few picks.
Yeah, he was – I thought about him. I wanted to go – I wanted to go with proximity, Jeff. So I went with Agustin Ramirez, yeah, and I don't want two catchers. So, yeah, I love Josue Jussenio. I think he was number one last year in Robo Scout at the complex. It's funny that his zone contact is so good because he's so tall. His strike zone's huge, so he can cover the strike zone. I love it. So you know what? I'm gonna look down your article and look at 10 Statcast standouts and pick another one. Jesus Baez,
who damn you.
Ellie Ben Porat wrote about him today too, I think. Mets shortstop, I believe. Teenager. I'll just pop it on Statcast as well. Contact, exit velocities, no chase, barreling, like all the things you want. He's a teenager. He only has one home run right now on a 110 WRC plus, so he's not popping too much, but he's still in the top 20 on low A. We've had some feedback that, you know, he's a, if he puts it all together, he's a top 100 prospect possibly. So Jesus Baez, just to go with your more plugging and cross-selling of your article.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. thanks for taking my final pick, Dylan.
The good comes with the bad. Sorry.
Yeah. So there we go. We're through the first four rounds of this. It was Alfredo Duno was the number one pick, followed by Agustin Ramirez, because we love ourselves some catchers. I then took Michael Arroyo. We followed it up with another Modesto nut with Aiden Smith. I then took Colby Thomas. You followed that up with Mike Bovey. Two guys I think I saw in the Cape in the same year. Maybe it was staggered. I can't remember. And then I went and I took Jose Briseño. Josue Briseño. You took Jesus Baez. Josue, Jesus, J names from Latin countries. We're going with themes here. So I wonder what the next theme is going to be. Maybe pitchers?
I'm ready.
I'm going to go with Jonah Tong. All right. I find him to be fascinating. I wanted to snipe you on the Canadian. There's another guy here that I was thinking about that I didn't go with, but just got promoted to high A today. He's actually making his first start on Thursday at noon against Moises Chase. But we'll see. I don't know how to say it. Chace Moises from the Orioles. They're starting against each other in Brooklyn. If I didn't have practice that day, there's a solid chance that I would have driven to Brooklyn to stay with my aunt. I just, you know, went and seen that game and then come home the next day. But the fastball looks really special. It's a pretty projectable frame. He's attacking right now and throwing strikes. I think there's potentially more velocity to come. I like it. And I wanted to snipe you because he's Canadian, so I figure you're going to take him.
He's definitely on my list. I wanted to actually take him early, but I had to follow the themes. The Modesto Nats, double A on the Cape, 10 stock cast standouts. I'm going to go with... Oh, and let me just plug RoboScout. Jonah Tong is number one in low A. And we'll see if he's going to be number one in high A pretty soon. So I'm going to go with a pitcher as well, because we're going to keep the thing going. Couple options. They're all at high A. I'm just going to name them anyway. Winston sure. Santos on the Rangers. Jaden Hamm, your guy on the Tigers.
Yep.
You, you, me, and Matt Eddy, I believe. I think all three of us had him as a breakout preseason, and he is sixth right now in high A, so that was quite prescient. And then Brett Wickrowski of Milwaukee.
That was the other guy I actually was like between either him or Tom.
Yeah. I like all three of these guys, and they're right beside each other. They're 6, 7, and 10, looks like. On RoboScout and High A, I'm gonna go with Jaden Hamm. You can read what we wrote about him in the preseason sleepers if you want to get a good idea of how he's going. Right now, he's thrown 16 and a third innings, 38% strikeout rate, a minuscule 1.5% walk rate. He's 21 or in his age 21 season. From a stuff point of view. I'm scrolling across, four pitch mix, fastball, slider, curveball, change, grades out well, as obviously he's got the control with that 1.5% walk rate, swinging strike rate, 17.4%. All this stuff adds up to RoboScout loving him. He's so young. The stuff supports it as well. And you have to have a pitcher, so... I see your Jonah Tong. Who is my number one of the pitchers available here? And then I'm going to go Jaden Hamm.
Yeah. You know, I like it. I think it was a good move. The other guy that I was wondering if you would select, but it's another catcher, was Carter Jensen, who's kind of jumped off the page with his RoboScout and his age to level production. I think he's really pretty interesting. It's kind of crazy. It seems like he's been around forever, but he's still fairly young and the bat's legit. I don't know if he's going to stick behind the plate or what happens there, but he's really interesting. But Dylan, this was a power-packed 40 minutes of insight and knowledge about baseball players and fun. Prospects. I hope it helps you in your dynasty leagues. We're being a little bit goofy here today, but for Dylan, for Jeff, this has been the Baseball America.